This morning's Bible reading is Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 35. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him.
You know, there's one good thing about August. Can't find many good things, but one good thing is this. Summer is on its way. I don't know about you, but I so miss the beach. Don't you miss that? I miss that. I miss the beach, especially when you live in the western suburbs of the Shire. That's Ingadine. It's a little hotter up there. And, you know, it's pretty good living in the western suburbs because in summer we get to drive down the President Avenue in the morning with the sun in our eyes. And when we leave the beach in the afternoon, we drive down President Avenue with the sun in our eyes. I miss the sand between my toes, don't you? And the opportunity to, you know, dive under that first wave on a hot, hot summer day. Oh, summer, would you just come back to us? Ever been caught in a rip? It's not much fun, is it, being caught in a rip? I mean, you can't hold on to anything solid. You can't touch the bottom. You're going further and further out to sea. It's certainly a place of panic and exhaustion. And I think that whole idea of the great Aussie going out, the lifesaver, going out to reach out a hand to save a struggling swimmer certainly becomes a really powerful symbol for us Aussies when it comes to our beach summers. I guess when you're caught in the current, it's not easy because you're expending energy. There's nothing solid to hold on to. You can't touch the bottom. You're going further and further out to shore. You've only got a few options. If you're strong enough, you can swim diagonally to the beach. There you go. Don't say you haven't learned anything this morning. You can swim diagonally to the beach. You can fight against the current as long as you've got energy. Or you can put up your hand and signal for help. And I think the moment a lifesaver actually comes out and reaches out their hand, two great things happen to us. We feel a sense of hope and we feel a sense of relief. Hope and relief are two very, very powerful dynamics when you're in a spot of bother. Hope and relief. You know, you don't have to be at the beach to physically experience a rip or a current actually pulling you out into deeper water. There are some strong currents in life that actually sweep us off our feet on a semi-regular basis. And in life, we can find ourselves in a place of panic in a place of struggle just to keep our head above the waterline of life. We can feel exhausted and really desperate to hold on to something solid when there's nothing solid to grab hold of. And we're looking for hope and relief. Maybe today for you, you find yourself in the current of unemployment. And it's sweeping you out into deep financial water, financial trouble. Maybe you've made some life changes, life choices today, and you've swam, I guess, and flirted with the rip of gambling. And before you know it, you're caught in the current of gambling, and now you find yourself in deep water and no one knows, and you just can't stop gambling. Or maybe it could be pornography and you're caught in the current of pornography and you don't know how to get out. You're exhausted and you're looking to hold onto something solid but you can't find it. Or maybe it's excessive abuse of alcohol or drugs, hidden, nobody knows. And you're caught in the current of alcohol abuse and you don't know how to get out. Maybe you find yourself in the current of poor health. And slowly but surely you are taken out into the deeper waters of uncertainty. And that poor health and the struggle of what your body is actually doing to you right now is exhausting and it's worrisome. Or maybe you find yourself on the shore, the shoreline, and there's someone in your life that you love is actually being swept out in the current of poor health. And you find yourself on the shoreline screaming out, but you feel helpless. You feel helpless. And all you have is your worry as your loved one is swept out in the current of poor health. For Christelle and Eon this morning, as they shared with us, they have found themselves in the current of insecurity. Literally almost being swept off the shores of Australia. Or maybe you're having a great swim at the beach. A great swim. When suddenly dark clouds are looming. You know, the summer storm in the afternoon. Maybe you're swimming at the beach and the dark storm clouds are looming, but you pay no attention to the warning signs and you're swimming and swimming and having a great time, but you haven't paid attention to the warning signs and now you find yourself swept out in the current of depression and anxiety. And you feel yourself sinking and you don't know how to grab hold of something solid. What current do you find yourself in this morning? What current of life has been sweeping you off the shoreline? You know, at different stages of our life, I think it is very reasonable to suggest that we can be swept away by the currents of life's adversities. And yet, as Aussies, we seem to be very, very skilled at adopting an attitude of, "She'll be right, mate." You notice that? You can be caught in a current of life and somebody can say, "Do you need a hand?" And "She'll be right, mate." We can be almost drowning to the point where our mouth is just out of the water and our last words are, "She'll be right, mate." Why is it so hard when we are swept out in the current of life's challenges just to put our hand up and say, "I need help"? Oh no, it seems easier for us to say, "She'll be right, mate." Why is it so hard to do this? When we've got nothing solid to hold on to. You know, there are some good health professionals. I want to encourage you this morning that putting your hand up sometimes means consulting some good health professionals. Don't be afraid of that. But I want to ask, is there some divine help? Is there a higher power that can actually reach out to us as we reach up for help? A very, very old song, Joan Osborne, you'd know this, and I'm sorry if I'm going to get it in your head. What if God was one of us? What if God was one of us? What if God had a name? What would it be? If God had a face, what would it look like? Is the song lyric. What if God was one of us? Well, can I say God does have a name. And God does have a face. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. This is God. He walked amongst us. He has a face, he has a name, and he's the greatest lifesaver there ever, ever was. You know, no matter what current you find yourself in today, Jesus can reach out to us, and we can reach out to him if we put our hand up. But you've got to put your hand up. I'd like to introduce to you some people that Jesus reached out to and appropriately touched. People that were caught in the current of life's challenges. Jesus reaches out. In Luke chapter 5, we read of a man that was really struggling under the illness of leprosy. He was swept out in the current of poor physical health. And in first century, if you had leprosy, you were swept out into isolation. Your family couldn't help you. You lived in a leper colony. You couldn't go to the temple and worship God. You were dying alone. And we see that this man who was struggling with leprosy, he actually put his hand up to say, I need help, Jesus. He begged Jesus, if you're willing, can you make me clean? Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Don't miss this. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, Jesus said. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Jesus reaches out. And sure, this man with leprosy reached up to Jesus. The point here is that Jesus reaches out. In Luke chapter 7, we see that Jesus raises a widow's son. It's the only son of a mother, and she was a widow. And so this woman was really caught in the current of grief and loss. She's no longer a wife. She's no longer a mother. And in first century, she was very vulnerable and she was in a very, very difficult place to be. And so Jesus observes this funeral procession. Here is a young child that had passed away, a mother filled with grief. And so when the Lord Jesus heard this woman, his heart went out to her, and Jesus said, don't cry. Then Jesus went up and touched the coffin. Jesus reached out and touched the coffin. And those carrying it stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Don't miss that. Jesus gave this boy back to his mother. Jesus reached out and he touched, and life was restored. In Luke chapter 8, we also see that there was Jairus's young girl who had also passed away. Jairus was a synagogue ruler, and Jesus was summoned to go to Jairus's house. When Jesus got to the house, there was quite a commotion of many people grieving the loss of this young girl. And in fact, Jesus made a statement that she's not dead but asleep. And they laughed at Jesus. Can I say, when you laugh at God, God will never ever be mocked, because nothing is impossible for God. But they laughed at Jesus. And so Jesus reached out. He took her by the hand and he said, my child, get up. Whose child is it? God's child. My child, get up. And her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. When Jesus reaches out, life is restored. Every person that Jesus appropriately touched here would have actually made Jesus socially and religiously unclean. It's important that we just understand the context. by Jesus touching somebody that was sick, by Jesus touching a coffin, by Jesus touching a dead body, meant that Jesus couldn't socially connect with people until he became ceremonially clean. Jesus couldn't go to the temple to worship God until he was ceremonially clean. But for Jesus, he would overcome social barriers. He would overcome religious barriers, and he would reach out and touch. And life was restored. And I want to suggest today that when Jesus reaches out to you, there is no barrier that would hold God back. It doesn't matter how fierce the current of life that you find yourself caught in. There is no current too strong that Jesus can't reach out and save. If we put our hand up, Jesus is able to reach out and he restores life. He is the ultimate life saver, the ultimate life giver. But we've got to move beyond "she'll be right, mate," to put our hand up, say, "I need help." See, Jesus reaches out, and there is absolutely no greater, fiercer current that we find ourselves in than our own sin. Sin is actually rebellion against God. Sin is when we turn our back on God and say, "I don't need you, God." We will not say that to God. But our life reflects that we live over here with our back to God as if God doesn't even exist. And this is what the Bible says: for all have sinned, for all have rebelled against God, for all have disobeyed God and fall short of the glory of God. For all are in the current of sin, and it sweeps us further and further away from God. That's what sin does. It sweeps us further and further away from God with nothing solid to grab hold of. Well, sure, we may grab some temporary flotation, but it will fade. And you'll look for some more flotation, and it will fade. The current of sin is actual death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Being swept away in the current of sin brings spiritual death, eternal separation from God. But Jesus has reached out to us. This is the good news. We are held in the captive by the current of sin, but Jesus has ultimately reached out to us through his death on a cross. When Jesus hung on that cross, he died to take the punishment that we deserve for rejecting God. When Jesus was on that cross, Jesus now has the authority to reach out to us, caught in the current of life, with real help. It starts when we confess our sin. That means we're putting our hand up. When we say, "I need you, God," we're putting our hand up. And Jesus now, because he's not in the grave, God the Father raised him back to life. Jesus is alive. That's why this symbol of a cross is empty, because the grave is empty. And if we put our hand up and confess our sin, Jesus says, "I'll reach out and take hold of you." But we've got to get beyond a "she'll be right, mate" attitude. I see it everywhere. She won't be right when you're caught in the current of sin. Because when Jesus is coming back, and if you are still floundering in the current of sin, trying to grab hold of temporary flotation, when Jesus comes back, there is a day of judgment. And those that don't reach out for Jesus now will be swept away from God's presence forever. But the good news is that if you put your hand up today, Jesus has the power to reach out and grab hold of you. Kelly and Kira's testimony is a testimony that reminds us that as Kelly knelt in her lounge room, she was putting her hand up. That's what she was doing. And where was God? Somewhere else in the galaxy? No. He was right there with Kelly, speaking words of life, because he's the greatest life saver there ever, ever is and was and is to come. There was Jesus reaching out to Kelly, as Kelly on her knees with her hand up saying, "I need help." If you've got a "she'll be right, mate" attitude, what would it take for you to actually put your hand up before it's too late. You see, Jesus reaches out to us, but we can also reach out to Jesus. You know, no matter how strong the current of life may be for you, when you raise up your hand to signal for help, Jesus will reach out his hand and grab hold of you. We see this in the Gospels in Luke chapter 8, just before Jesus actually goes to Jairus' house to reach out to Jairus' daughter and restore her life. We actually see that just before that, that there was a woman who was bleeding and she was carried in the current of poor health. And for this woman, life was pretty inconvenient. She never stopped bleeding. In fact, we read that she was sick for about a year and no one could heal her. Jesus was caught in a crowd, pressed in from every side. This woman had the faith to believe that if she puts her hand up, God could make a difference in her life. And this woman reached out and grabbed hold of Jesus. Have a listen, Luke chapter 8, verse 44. This woman came up behind Jesus and touched the edge of his cloak. And immediately her bleeding stopped. I did say she was sick for 1 year. I meant she was sick for 12 years. No one could heal her. She reached out to Jesus. And immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus said. And when they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out of me." And then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, isn't that intriguing? There's a big crowd. She came trembling and she fell at the feet of Jesus. And in the presence of all the people, she humbled herself. She told why she had touched Jesus and how she had been instantly healed. You know, Jesus' response could have been, "Woman, why did you touch me? Now I am religiously unclean again. I've got to get ceremonially clean, and that's really inconvenienced my life. How dare you touch me?" Have a listen to what Jesus says. Astounding. "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." What's the first word that Jesus speaks? A word of identity. "Daughter, your faith has healed her." What was her faith? She reached up and said, "I need help. And I believe you have the power to help me." That was her faith. And in that moment, she experienced the touch of God. Jesus ultimately reaching back and healing her. In the passage that was read out to us in Matthew chapter 14, a bizarre passage, I know. Jesus walks on water. Wow, okay. That's pretty powerful. But if Jesus has the power to raise the dead and heal the sick, he did create the cosmos, he can walk on water. And Peter sees Jesus, everyone's trembling, and good on Peter, he gets out of the boat and he starts walking on water too. Imagine those first couple of footsteps. Wow. But then Peter sinks. And what was Peter's response when he was sinking? He cried out, "Lord, save me." He put up his hand, literally sinking in the water, and he put up his hand. He said, "Lord, save me." And what does the Word of God say? In verse 31 of Matthew chapter 14, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. When we have the faith to believe, when we have the faith to put our hand up and say, "Lord, forgive me. I want to reach out to you. I'm caught in the current of life and I need your help." Christelle and Eon had a story this morning of reaching out to God, and God has reached out to them. Kelly and Kira has a story of reaching out to God. God reaches out to them. The Gospels are full of stories of people caught in the current of life, reaching out to Jesus, and Jesus reaches out to them. I want to tell you, friend, she won't be right. Reach out to Jesus. Reach up to him. He died for you. He loves you. He can reach out to you too, you know. You may be thinking that you're the worst of sinners. He's pretty good on forgiveness. But are you willing to put your hand up and say, I need you, God. Help me. That little mustard seed of faith, that small little amount of faith, that will bring life to your soul. You know, when we reach out to Jesus, I do want to make it abundantly clear that God won't automatically just suddenly pluck us out of the current of life that we're in. Sometimes we make poor choices and suddenly we're caught in the current of life. God won't always save you from the poor choices we make. God won't always just pluck you out of the current of life you're in and suddenly you don't have that adversity anymore. Maybe there's more learning for you there. But I will guarantee you one thing this morning. If you reach out to Jesus, he will take hold of you. And when a lifesaver gets hold of you, it doesn't matter about the current that's sweeping you out from the shore, because when the lifesaver grabs hold of you, you will experience relief and hope. Relief and hope. Over the next 3 weeks, we're about to launch into a series. Sam is our teaching pastor. He's going to launch it for us, Take Up Your Cross, The Life of Discipleship. Next 3 weeks, we're going to unpack what does it mean when God grabs hold of us, what does it then mean to be a disciple of Jesus? But I'd love to give you an opportunity this morning to reach out to Jesus. Maybe you've been following Jesus for quite some time, but that doesn't guarantee that you won't face the current of life, but you can put your hand up. If you find yourself as a follower of Jesus in the current of life and you feel like you're sinking, put your hand up this morning and let God reach out to you again. If you're not following Jesus and the current of sin is drifting you further and further away from God, stop saying, she'll be right, mate. Just put your hand up and let God reach out to you.